Steve Pachenik, served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, talk about knowing where the bodies are buried, and James Baker. Dr. Pachenik continues to consult the Department of Defense. He received a Council on Foreign Relations Fellowship, where he was recruited by Lawrence Eagleburger as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Management. In the position he was, he created the Office of Combat Terrorism, the Family Liaison. And it just goes on for a long time. Dr. Pachenik is the author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers. His experiences in government, international crisis management were the basis of Tom Clancy's characters, Jack Ryan and Richard Clark. And the website is stevepachenik.com. Pachenik, P-I-E-C-Z-E-N-I-K. stevepachenik.com. We'll get links up at infowars.com. And we're going to skip this network break coming up. This is so important. Dr. Pachenik, thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to try to sit back, give you the floor to talk about what's currently happened, some of the history involved with these players, Bin Laden, who, going back to the interview that you intimately know, thank you for joining us.
It is a great pleasure and an honor. I want to thank you, Alex. I want to thank what you said. I think very much of what you said is very accurate. I will correct some of the issues that I think we've talked about, but I want to thank your audience for listening. And I want to say how important Alex Jones was after 9/11, when I knew very well at that time that the American public was being deceived and was being treated as if we were fools, stupid, ignorant, and cheats. I had hoped at that time, once I was on the Alex Jones show, and I broke ranks with my people at the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm a member also of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, the National Military Intelligence Association, and I volunteer repeatedly. I volunteered to still work with our military because, number one, I respect our military. Number two, we have sent men and women to wars which have not been clearly defined by civilians who have never been in war, including Clinton, including Bush Jr. in particular, who precipitated the wars into Iraq and Afghanistan, and now Obama. And I had hoped by that time in the past that we have would have stopped fooling the American public and stopped creating an incursion into our own country, killing our own people. 9/11 has still not been fully explained, and it is not a conspiracy theory. It has nothing to do with all kinds of secrecy and cabal and any other issue. It has to do with a famous technique in warfare that we call stand down, false flag, deception, and denial. It was done during Pearl Harbor. Alex explained to you yesterday it was done by Hitler. It was done by LBJ during the war in Vietnam, where we had the Gulf of Tonkin, and he claimed that we had a false flag operation and we had to shoot the Vietnamese because they shot it. That was wrong. Many men died for that. Many men went to war. And at the same time, we had a stand down and a false flag, which was told to me repeatedly by the people I worked with, including a very famous general that I will not repeat his name, to protect him until I go to a grand jury. Now, what I'm saying today is very important. I was a deputy assistant secretary under Nixon, Ford, and came under special, and Carter. I resigned under Carter because I disagreed with the way he handled the hostage situation. I came back under Reagan to take down the Soviet Union, and I came back under Bush Sr. to work on Cambodia. I'm not a career foreign service. I'm not a career intelligence officer. I am what every American is. I'm a physician, but I'm an entrepreneur. I create businesses, and I believe in the American way of life, which is very simple. The hope, the faith, the dedication, and the lack of interference in my job, in my pocketbook, and in my speech, and the ability to say what I want to say by the government. That doesn't mean I'm a Tea Party member, I'm a liberal, or I'm a conservative, or I belong to any party. I am strictly an American, and I'm saying this to you as Americans. We have once again been deceived. I thought this would cease and desist by the time Bush Jr. was elected and thrown out. I had asked that Bush Jr. be indicted for war criminals, Cheney be indicted, Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Steve Hadley. It goes on and on and on. The issue now is we have brought to the forefront at a time when America is in deep peril economically, as Alex Jones has correctly explained to you. We are in deep peril because we are in two wars, of which I have no idea why we're there. And I had warned, even on the Alex Jones show 9 years ago, we will go into Afghanistan and Iraq after the 9/11, and I predicted, and he was correct, Alex Jones, and you see it on your website, that Osama bin Laden would be dead and had been dead for over 7 months, not because special forces killed him, but because as a physician I had known that the CIA physicians had treated him, and it was on the intelligence roster, that he had Marfan syndrome. Now, many of you can look up on the internet Marfan syndrome. It's a disease which is a genetic abnormality which Abraham Lincoln had, and it was the disease of the cataract of the eyes, of the coronary arteries, and what happens in that disease is that you have a very short lifespan. The fact that he had renal dialysis was not an issue of renal stones, which can be cured, and is not that serious or life-threatening, but he needed that dialysis machine, so he had to take it with him. It was not an accident that his number two man, El-Zawahiri, was a physician. It is not an accident that most leaders of terrorist organizations around the world are physicians. That's why I know them, because we understand our code of ethics and creed. Osama bin Laden died when we went into Afghanistan. General Tommy Franks had stated very clearly that he had died, and he made a slip. Now, we knew he had already died. By that time, by the time we had already gone into Afghanistan, in Pakistan, we knew he was dead. So the notion, when I came on the radio show in 2002 with Alex Jones, I said, listen, Osama bin Laden's dead. He's dead. There's no question about it. He had Marfan syndrome. It had nothing to do with special forces. He was used in the same way that 9/11 was used to mobilize the emotions and feelings of the American people in order to go to a war that had to be justified through a narrative that Bush Jr. created and Cheney created about the world of war terrorism. Now, I have been in that world for 30 years. During 30 years, we had never been attacked in America. I repeat it again. The question is not that we are safer now. We are we're not safer. The issue is we had never been attacked up till 9/11 because Bush Jr., Cheney, Rumsfeld, and a group of other generals who involved, who I know who they are and they know who I am, were decided that we had to mobilize the public in order to create a war on terrorism, which is an oxymoron. That war on terrorism no longer exists. We went into Iraq. Our military forces, and I have to tell you, I have the greatest respect for our military men, and I'm saying this to you, the generals, the colonels, the majors, and the captains, and I've been lecturing at the War College every year, be careful of the orders you receive from civilian presidents. I say it again, and listen to me. Be aware of the orders that you receive from civilian presidents like Bush, Clinton, and Obama, particularly presidents who have never served in a war and do not know what the consequences of the war are, and the number of men and women who die bravely for our country and our cause because some civilian has to manipulate his political career at the expense of the American public and at the expense of the bodies and the blood and guts of our warriors who are so important to us.
All right, Doctor. Absolutely. Dr. Steve Pachenik is our guest. Yeah. We'll even have him a little bit into the next hour. He's very gracious. And I want to get more into that entire area that you were just raising. And I'm talking about my White House sources. So obviously they were probably given this info. I know that you said he was dying of the disease. I'd seen the videos of him, and even 98, 99, he looked like somebody who was near death then, obviously very ill. The new photos they show us, the CIA even had to admit last year in Spy Talk in the Washington Post that they were fake videos. So it's on record they put fake videos out. And I think that's very bold of them to tell the Washington Post, May 25th, 2010, Spy Talk, that they did fake them. We already knew that. We've seen the Adam Gadon videos uploaded in the same video layer as the Intel Center's logo. We've got Amiral Alaki, admittedly.
But you see, Alex, the key that Mr. Jones, the key question America has to ask again, and why I went back on your show, is this has much greater implication just than the distortions and lies that are created by the intelligence community. And believe me, I work with the intelligence community. The question is, why does that have to be done repeatedly in different administrations to the American public, particularly now with the president, as you said, who had the lowest ratings, whose historical background is in question? I'm not only talking about his birth certificate, forget that, his education, how he came to power, whom he represents, and particularly in a time when Wall Street and the bankers have gotten away with the greatest crime in the history of America. Nobody was indicted. And particularly at a time when I do not understand, I, who've been in war 8 different times, why we are in Afghanistan and Iraq and why men and women are dying. So the issue becomes a little bit greater than the question of, did the CIA or intelligence community doctor up this situation? The answer is yes, categorically yes. Anybody who tells you it's not is lying. This whole scenario where you see a bunch of people sitting there looking at a screen and they look as if they're intent, that's nonsense. It's a total makeup, make-believe. We're in an American theater of the absurd. The real issue is, why are we doing this again, Alex? Why 9 years later do I have to come on your show when I predicted 9 years ago this man was already dead? But it wasn't the issue of him. It was the issue of, why does the government, why does the government repeatedly have to lie to the American people who have worked so hard in order to justify their political existence when you basically have civilian leaders who are politicians?
Now, I understand, Dr. Pechenik. Let me stop you, because you're dropping bombshell after bombshell. You know, you're the right-hand man of Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, James Baker, Cyrus Vance.
I wasn't anybody's right-hand man. Let me tell you, I got thrown out of more places than you can imagine, my friend.
Well, my point is, you've been right up there.
I've been there.
Underneath these guys, and it's on record that Tom Clancy's character, Jack Ryan, Patriot Games, is you. So you are
based on me. That's correct.
Yes, I mean, you're the
Richard Clark.
Absolutely. So, and we'll put an image of Jack Ryan up there. So that's the guy that we're talking to right now. And so, Doctor, you just you know brought out that incredible information, and we're trying to scramble to find the photo. It was up on Drudge for 2 days. It's gone now. But the photo, you can go to whitehouse.gov and find it, is of the president, you know, watches his staff the operation against bin Laden, and Hillary's got her hand over her mouth.
Yes,
the men are all acting tough.
Yes.
You can see that that's a posing photo, and you've been at those levels. So break that down for us, Doctor.
Well, the breakdown is very simple. This is a man who decided he's going to have a photo opportunity. This is a man, from the day he came in, it began with a lie. It began with a lie. I didn't know the man. I have nothing personally against him. I couldn't care one way or the other, but I did care, what is this man going to be as a president? If you're going to say one thing and do another, in my world, in the world of where I can say is a political operative, that's called a sociopath. That means that you say one thing, but you do everything differently. So when you look at a photograph of people looking intently as if they were amazed and bemused by an attack that may not have existed, if this was an attack and they attacked a mortuary, God bless them, because Osama bin Laden is totally dead. So there's no way they could have attacked or killed or confronted Osama bin Laden unless you believe in the resurrection of Osama bin Laden, and I don't. And if I could tell you 9 years ago. So let me break it through. You have a president, you have a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, whose father was a publicist at the William Morris Agency, who is very much concerned about how he's going to leave the military as an admiral, all right? You have a president who is in deep, deep trouble, who has no idea of how to get us out of unemployment, and has a disparity between the very rich and the very poor, where no banker in the history of this country, after stealing billions of dollars and coming back to the American public and asking us for bonuses, had never been arrested for this. Yet people who have cheated on their taxes or poor people who have not been able to get jobs are put in prison or are waiting on welfare. So we have a president who, the day he came in, picked up the Nobel Prize for Peace, where he had done nothing, next day turns around and declares war in Afghanistan. Even Bush Jr. didn't declare war in Afghanistan. And who is in Afghanistan right now? We're talking about a man, Karzai, whom I knew, and I was there at the house 20 years ago in Maryland, when this delicatessen owner from Silver Spring was ordered to come back. He was a CIA operative, as I remembered him, and was put into a position where we have nothing but corruption, destruction, and basically the killing of our own people. Then we have the Pakistani allies, who they have now irritated, this Obama, and then we have Panetta, who's not in that picture. The most important of those men, who was ordered, this is the great key order. Obama wants to tell you how resolute he was, because everybody said he was indecisive. So in order to make sure he looks resolute, he orders Panetta, a nice liberal who had been a Republican.
Stay there, Dr. Pechenik, stay there. Back in 3 minutes, this is Key Info. We'll go back to bin Laden's death and give us any more evidence of that.
I would stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.
He has written 26 plus New York Times bestsellers, stevepechenik.com. It's on record, a high level government position under multiple presidents, under Secretary of States, involved in black ops all over the world with the Mujahideen. I want him to talk about some of that history briefly before we look at currently what's happening, because obviously to know what's coming in the future and what's happening in the present, we need to know the past. Those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it, because the cliche rings true. But remember, this is the character that they created Jack Ryan out of in Tom Clancy's books, and that's on record. That's how respected he is, and he has a lot of courage. And I know you probably don't want to get into this now, but you did get a lot of heat when you came on my show. And I know you'll probably get heat again right now, but you're not some small fry out there saying that bin Laden was dead. And what you talked about on my show was confirmed by people in the White House, high level. And then separately, years after that, Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, came out and said it. Benazir Bhutto, the president of Pakistan, said it. So when the Washington Post and everybody makes fun of us right now and has these articles out, some of them wouldn't even quote you. They just said that Jones claimed he had a source from the State Department when it was on record. The Atlantic Monthly dare not mention it. They linked to some Cheech and Chong blog that I have nothing to do with in some attempt to just mislead their readers. Jeff Goldberg, who when he wasn't a Israeli prison guard, he was, running around engaged in his regular activities. So I guess Israel doesn't like what I'm doing. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not in their business. But let's go back, because this is what the media is going to be calling you about and myself about. Let's go back specifically. You've got all these intel connections. You've worked with, the biggest heavy hitters there are. You're famous in intelligence and analysis. The Jack Ryan's your character, the guy that doesn't play games. And in the real world, you're actually telling it like it is. 9 years ago, April 22nd, on this show, and then everything you've talked about has now been backed up in triplicate. And now we have this latest PR stunt with them, with the photo op with Hillary covering her mouth. I mean, this looks like a photo where you tell your kids, smile, say cheese. Break down, sir. Take your time with the intel, with the CIA reports you were reading, with as much proof as you can give us without giving up your sources, of knowing that bin Laden was dead and when he reportedly died, so that we can look at the big news story now in context of why they've launched this hoax today.
Well, let me just say, the issue of why he was dead, it was exactly what I said before. He died of Marfan syndrome, Bush Jr. knew about it. The intelligence community knew about it. CIA had already sent a position way before under the Clinton administration to see him at the American Hospital in Dubai. He was already very sick from Marfan syndrome, and he was already dying. So nobody had to kill him. He had al-Zawahiri, who was the physician with him, who is still a physician. I don't know where he is. But we knew he was already dead by 9/11. It was very clear that he was dying. At Tora Bora, he probably died. Tommy Franks, general, said accidentally that he died. But the point was, he was already dead by the time I talked to you. Why is it relevant now? Again, as I said, why is the fiction and the narrative of the psyops of America against the American people so important? It's number one, as you said so clearly to your public, and they understand it. Number one, we're viewed as idiots and stupid, and Americans are not seen as very bright by our politicians. Secondly, basically, the president was in very deep trouble, as you said, economically, politically. He was on the bottom. He had the birther issue come out. He proved, he said, he was American. But now he had to prove that he was more than American. He was more American than American. He had to be aggressive. At the same time, you had an admiral who had really not done very well as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who had made some serious gaffes by giving a Medal of Honor to Greg Mortensen, who lied, going into Pakistan saying he had built schools for women and looked like a fool. You have Panetta, who really caused a lot of civilian damage in the Pakistan area, and the Pakistanis were furious with him because what he claimed was a CIA, quite frankly, without telling you a great secret, it's already an open-source intelligence. About 80% of the CIA presently is not involved in intelligence. It is involved in what's called Operation Killing, Special Ops, and that means that many of the Special Forces soldiers have been shifted over to the CIA. Well, used to be in the old office, SOLIC, Special Operations Low Intensity Conflict, but they have a new office, and Panetta was really just killing people right and left with the drones and creating a lot of friction and a major alienation between the American the generals and the Pakistani generals, the ISI. Third, lastly, we have a foreign policy that didn't work under Hillary Clinton, as you know, like Condoleezza Rice. She probably booked in more miles than any other Secretary of State and was totally incompetent. She was not able to preempt, to really be able to figure out any strategic assessments or analysis of what happened in the Middle East or predict the uprising in Syria, in Libya, Tunisia, and was really not able to hold out and was not competent. So you have a whole series of administrative people, both civilian and military, who are not competent. And they had to show that they could really prove some sense of competency at a time when there was in a re-election. It's a really, as nature, it's the very sense of a political expediency. As to what the Washington Post says and the New York Times, I don't particularly care. I never have. I never will. It's not relevant to me. It may be relevant to you, but I don't think it's relevant to the American public. They don't read it. They don't care about it. Quite frankly, more people listen to Alex Jones than they read the New York Times. No question in my mind. Having said that, it was a very politically expedient factor for the president to say, I'm going to get reelected. I've shown my firmness. I've shown I'm an American. I've shown that I can turn around the economy, which he hasn't. Secretary of State Hillary can say, look, we accomplished the end of a major significant movement in the war on terrorism, which they haven't, because from a tactical and an intelligence assessment point of view, this has not changed the game whatsoever. There are no terrorists really right now in Afghanistan. The only terrorists right now are being supported by Al-Haqqa, which is supported by the Pakistani Inner Service Intelligence, what Gore said to you last night, which ironically is being supported by the CIA. And even Al-Haqqa has been reporting back to our intelligence operatives saying, what in God's name is going on? We're being paid by our own CIA, your CIA, through the ISI to kill your soldiers. Now, if you can explain that to me, you're going to have to explain that to the American public. And that's what I meant by deception and denial that's been going on for three administrations, Clinton, Bush, and this administration. It has to stop. What else has been happening? The Pakistanis are so furious, what you heard last night, that Panetta had created all these problems, and they don't like General Petraeus. By the way, I happen to like General Petraeus. I think he's been a good general. He's been quiet. He's been doing what he was ordered to do. not what he initiated to do. And we have to differentiate our military from civilian control. And that's one of the reasons why I work with our military and not the civilian government. I offer and donate my time to our military because they're the most serious institution that we have left in the United States, and they're being treated very poorly, both on the battlefield without the necessary resources and when they come back as veterans without any benefits. And now they have no mental health benefits, they have no physical benefits, and we're having the cheapest amount of labor given to these veterans who have served our country honorably. So what I'm saying to you very clearly is this is a civilian psyops game that continues from presidency to presidency. We in the United States can no longer have two-party systems where we have a Republican and Democrat, where it really is not functioning very well, and it's costing the American public a fortune in both blood and guts and money. We've spent over $333 billion, approximately $50 million for every so-called terrorist that was taken out of Afghanistan, which were about 2,000 terrorists. Now, if you can find me 2,000 more terrorists in Pakistan, I will give you a couple of more million, because they don't exist. Karzai, the Pakistanis, have worked together to make sure that we are not able to acquire any assets there. Now, what does this result to? We're not going to go to World War III, but what's happening is another form of economic warfare has entered, and that is China, who has benefited from all of what we have done, the dysfunctional behavior and the misassessment and the lack of strategy and the lack of leadership and the disasters that we have created with the drones and our CIA so-called operations where we've killed civilians. We've alienated the Pakistanis, who in turn have invited the Chinese to come down and work with them, both militarily and economically. And what has Karzai said publicly? I don't want the Americans here because he already has raped and ripped us of about $3 billion a day, a week. And at the same time, he has asked the Chinese to come in and invest in Afghanistan. Now, that's the reality.
And by the way, Karzai's brother on record is the biggest opium dealer in Afghanistan. Now, looking at this, I talked to you earlier during the break, and you said you heard General Hamid Ghul, former head of Pakistani intelligence, on, and that you had to agree with what he said. You just alluded to that.
Right.
But specifically, let's go into your history, because you know much of the entire leadership of Pakistan and Afghanistan from the Afghan war with the Russians.
Yes. Thank you, Alex. It's very kind of you. I really know them way before the Afghan war. I was involved in the major hostage situation in Washington called the Hanafi Muslim. I was brought in by Earl Silbert when 350 hostages were taken in Washington, and I was able, through 36 hours of negotiating against the orders of Carter. I actually threw out Jimmy Carter outside, so you can see I don't always acquiesce to a civilian controller president. And basically there was a very important gentleman who worked with me named Yaqub Khan. Yaqub Khan was the foreign minister of Pakistan, was our ambassador to the United States, but was the father of the Pakistani army. As a result of that, I got to know the various generals throughout his ranks, who they were, and he talked to me about Elzia, Musharraf, Benazir Bhutto, her father, what would happen. So I intimately got to know both the military elements of this incredible army that was trained under General Yaqub Khan, and a friend of mine was also the head of the Islamic Brotherhood. Believe it or not, we went to MIT together. So I knew all of these elements, and I knew they were extremely sensitive to our relationship with America. And at the time, they were useful in the fight against the Soviet Union. But at the same time, I was clearly warned very early on that they would turn against us and basically have a blowback, which you've talked about in the past. So using Yaqub Khan, I knew exactly where the elements were, the concerns they had about the CIA continuously supporting the Inter-Service Intelligence Agency, the fact that the ISI was getting out of control, was no longer under military or civilian control in Pakistan, and was beginning to form their own so-called groups, or we call terrorist groups, as a forefront to making sure that Pakistan had an ancillary army, or basically an auxiliary army, or paramilitary unit that could fight against India. And one of the things your audience has to understand, Pakistan's greatest obsession right now is not with the Taliban or Haka. Those are the groups that they support even till today.
It's with India.
With India. That is correct, Alex. India is their greatest obsession. And I would speak to the general and other Pakistani officials and explain to them, look, India is not an issue for you. India is twice the size you are. They have twice the number of nuclear warheads. You have 600,000 soldiers. At that time, they had 2.2 million. Kashmir is not an issue. Nevertheless, India, Pakistan to this day has felt very strongly that India is sending down operatives through the Chinese and other Soviets into Afghanistan and are using those operatives in order to get a possession into Afghanistan. And at the same time, Pakistan feels that India is infiltrating the Kashmir. So there's a whole other scenario which we have not been able to handle. When Richard Holbrooke was brought in as the envoy to the South Asia, he was told you can handle anything you want, but you will not touch Pakistan and India or Kashmir. That was cut out. So from a foreign policy point of view, we have never had the strong hand or the foresight of, let's say, whatever you think of Kissinger or Baker, who could very forcefully say, no, that's not going to happen. Or we had the strategic sense under various other presidents where we knew exactly where we wanted to go. Like Bush Sr. said, we're not going into Iraq. It wasn't a question. He was afraid of Saddam Hussein, or he wasn't, or it was unfinished work. Bush Sr. was brilliant in foreign policy. We had taken down the Soviet Union quietly. We had taken down East Germany quietly. We had taken down apartheid quietly. And we had taken down Debussan, a whole bunch of other countries. Not one word was said. When his son came in, he said, I don't listen to my father. We said, good God, what an incredibly incompetent, arrogant individual. Yet his father never said a word. So when you have a man like Bush Sr. who's able to control and direct both the intelligence community, the CIA, under whom Bob Gates, who is an excellent Secretary of Defense, and I'm sorry to see him go because I think that's a great loss to our country. He has really tried to control and direct our Defense Department in the right way and cut back programs that were not necessary, the F-22, the stealth, and really provide our special forces with the necessary equipment they needed. We're going to lose a very valuable man. In turn, I have very big questions about Panetta and his capabilities. I do not think he performed well at the CIA. I think he exacerbated a very serious situation with the Pakistanis, and I think General Petraeus will have a hard time because it's a military man coming into a civilian organization, which General Eisenhower once said about the CIA, you need a certain kind of genius to run that organization. So right now, what's happening is civilian control, which is both untutored, undisciplined, and without a history of any military or intelligence expertise, is now going forward. There's one more reason why Osama bin Laden came out of the dead, so to speak, the resurrection, or the PSYOP's resurrection of Osama bin Laden. And that is, for the first time, you've heard people like Clapper and the director of the National Intelligence Organizations and the Center for Counterterrorism and all the intelligence organizations, which amount to God knows how many now, have really worked together and effectively. So it's a justification to say that under Obama, we have really integrated our intelligence community so that we effectively can kill and we're able to kill a dead man, in my opinion, that Osama bin Laden was dead.
All right, let me ask you this question, sir. And again, if you've just joined us, yeah. Dr. Steve Pachinik, stevepachinik.com, the man that Tom Clancy's novels are based on, author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers. He was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and or Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, and James Baker. Dr. Pachinik is also, as you heard, a medical doctor, continues to consult to the Department of Defense, is also a Council on Foreign Relations Fellow. You heard him, and he said it 9 years ago that they would do this. This is the PSYOP resurrection of Osama bin Laden. We'll find out exactly why. It isn't just about the re-election of... And that's what bin Laden is. He knows your anger. He knows your pain. He's that 6'4" boogeyman with a scary turban and the beard and the evil eye. And now we've had a victory. Man, America's coming together. Yeah, as the gas prices explode, as all of this tyranny unfolds, as, the Chinese are dumping more treasuries. They're talking about the U.S. losing its AAA rating. That's back in the news today. They say when they switch it, it may go to a C grade. That's CNBC. This is the country going into cardiac arrest. But we've got the royal wedding. We've got the bin Laden situation. And here is a very high-powered author, researcher, State Department, a former official, CFR fellow, breaking everything down, breaking ranks with the establishment to warn you. Now larger than just Obama, sir, and the reelection. I mean, that's all scripted. That's clear. Why else are they doing this? Because we see the frame up now of Pakistan going into high gear saying bin Laden was at this house.
Well, one of the reasons they're doing it so that they basically can pull out of Pakistan, they can try to leave Afghanistan and Iraq with the sense that there was a victory. There is no victory because there was no clear designation as to what the war would accomplish. We have no idea what the war accomplished other than 10 years of wasted bodies and brave men and women and $333 billion a year. Secondly, we've now have a very serious economic issue with unemployment still up, exceedingly high, much higher than the designations. We have a banking crisis that hasn't been resolved. In 3 years, we've had banks after banks, Chase, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan and Chase, Bank of America, all of them have committed crimes beyond the reason of the doubt. If you look at the Banking Commission report that's done by our own federal government, they indict them. And there's basically no attention to them, and nobody has even been prosecuted. And Obama went back to them yesterday and asked them for more money. They're going to raise $1 billion. We're also in a position where we are not doing very well in the international arena. We have literally lost our basic strategic superpower position. Although we have a large army, we're basically in the same position that the British military was in the 1900s, a very large army without a strategy, without a cause, and without a country. I often said to our military, we have an army without a country, and I say to our country that we have a country without a military. Because right now it's costing us a fortune. We have no benefits derived from it. There are no enemies that we have other than the internal security of our country, which depends really on the debt, as you clearly said, and our financial growth, which is very low, 2 to 3%, and the fact that our bond ratings will be downgraded perhaps to a C or whatever the levels are. We have further problems. We have the notion that a system is not working, and that's what I keep coming back to since I said 10 years ago when we had Bush Jr., now we have Obama. We elect people who are basically panderers without any history of accomplishment, without any history of success, other than the fact that they pandered their way and agreed to acquiesce to anybody who's giving them money or power and represent other interests. Now, I'm not degrading anybody. I've treated politicians, and I've worked with them. But basically, the notion of a politician servicing the United States of American needs is absurd. We don't need these people anymore, and if we think we do, then we're mistaken because we're going to keep going on from administration to administration, from lie to lie, and from incompetence to incompetence. All of these people are reshuffled again. You have Panetta, who was in the Clinton administration, was not a great performer, now coming in from the CIA, where he was dysfunctional, to now heading up the Secretary of Defense.
Stay there. We've got the real live Patriot Games, Jack Ryan, Dr. Steve Pachinik, going into overdrive. Stand by. Infowars.com. Now into the fourth hour. We're going to take your phone calls later in the hour. If you have any questions or comments for Dr. Steve Pachinik, the toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. But please, focus, serious questions about the whole Osama bin Laden garbage. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number to join us. Doctor, talking, at the end of the break, I was asking there, what is the goal? We know it's a re-election kickoff. We can see the scripting, the choreographing. The ridiculous, we threw bin Laden in the ocean, the 6 years he's in Pakistan, obviously they want to start framing Pakistan, putting pressure on them. They caught the CIA guy reportedly with the uranium, trying to get it to militants as some type of, you know, way to put pressure on Pakistan's nuclear program. But what are the other reasons for them doing this? Because I'm scanning the news here while we're live, and 48 hours into this, it's completely turning around against them, and hoax, 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 hoax is the byword. They're on Facebook everywhere trying to block and ban people like I've never seen on their own Facebook saying it's a hoax. It looks like a rout is beginning. And folks, I don't just say things like a cheerleader. I'm telling you now, this looks like a rout of this hoax. That's why they're now saying they're going to try to release a real photo. Dr. Pachinik.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Alex. One of the things that the politicians never calculated on is that the American public is a lot smarter than the politicians. Let me repeat that again. I think we, the American people, are a lot smarter. We could smell a psyops operation. We could smell the fake. We could smell when it's orchestrated. And this is orchestrated. I mean, when you have people sitting around and watching a sitcom, basically the operations center in the White House, and you have a president coming out almost zombie-like telling you that they just killed Osama bin Laden, who was already dead 9 years ago. And people are aware of shows like yours, quite frankly. Alex, you've been a very important part of inserting the truth in a time when most media was really going to the common denominator and the lowest. The fortunate part is that thank God for the alternative media and thank God for the American public. They're a lot smarter. And the world public's a lot smarter. I understand that you're listened to in the Middle East by millions of people. You've offered them a lot of facts. There's nothing that you really said that I didn't agree with 9 years ago. And when I said to you, Osama bin Laden's dead because they need to get out of there, they need to have a conclusion where the president's getting real at all the issues we talked about, now the American public is saying, you know, we're tired. We're sick and tired of the nonsense that was given to us by Clinton, by Bush, and certainly now by Obama. We want jobs. We want to manufacture. We don't want to be overseas. We want to develop our own country. We want to know that we can be proud of what we've done and forget the rest of the world where we're making up wars that don't exist and terrorists who never were. And the TSA, as you said, who's reaching down to your pants and are not really required. I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. So the answer is, one issue that's very important is that the American public has to understand these people are not smarter than the American public. They're just not. They may believe they're smart. If you look at the background of Osama bin Laden, he did not do very well in school. He was at two-year college, which was not very good. He didn't do that well in Columbia, and I think he got into Harvard on affirmative action. But the real issue is, and his own wife was in on affirmative action, I think the real issue is if we have the same benefits that he had, I think we would have achieved so-called elite status. But the bottom line is very simple. The American public is a lot smarter. Anybody who has to work on a day-to-day basis, whether I'm in Montana or on the East Coast, you've got a farm. You've got to build, you have a mechanic shop. You're a trucker. You've got to figure out exactly what the cost of goods are, what the profit margins are, and how you can pay your income. These guys in Congress and the Senate have never had to do that. If you look at the benefits of what they have and you look at the White House benefits of what they have, we basically have a royalty and a kingship. We didn't have a wedding in England. What we had was a marriage of the absurd and the psyops here in America when bin Laden was just resurrected and in this greatest falsehood I've ever heard. I mean, it was absurd.
Stay there, Dr. Pachinik, the real live Jack Ryan of the Patriot Games with us now. We'll be right back to continue breaking this down. Who knows? We'll just keep him the whole hour if he can do it and take your phone calls. We've got a lot more to talk about breaking this down. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Steve Pachinik is a board-certified psychiatrist. That's the medical doctor end of the whole system. And he was a psychological warfare expert chief brought in by the Pentagon against the Russians, you name it. He is the character that Jack Ryan and others, Tom Clancy, is based on. That's on record from Tom Clancy. He himself is the author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers and the advisor on many of Clancy's books. You can see all of that at stevepachinik.com. So you, folks always wonder why Tom Clancy knows so many inside things ended up happening later. Here's one of his chief guys giving him the intel. I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but you are an interesting person, and it also goes to credibility. You know, here you are 9 years ago and change, 9 years and a month, April 22nd, 2002, and you say he died of this disease. I saw it in the CIA documents, the disease he had. This is the word. I have this from inside sources. You're a CFR fellow at the time. You've worked under James Baker, George Shultz, Cyrus Vance, Henry Kissinger as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, and senior policy planner under those secretaries.
Right.
And here you are saying bin Laden's dead, and he's on ice to be rolled out later. Then two other White House sources tell me the same thing years later. Then Albright comes out on Fox. All these other things happen. And, I mean, it's important for folks to hear some of your background to understand that now we're here. We're living it. We're seeing it. And then before we go to some calls, I want you to specifically again, because you keep saying, well, you know, they're not as smart as you think they are, why they're doing it, why they think they came out with this ridiculous bin Laden announcement that's so cartoonish that is blowing up in their face. The foreign media, the domestic, it is just overwhelming the inconsistencies. Even the Washington Post and others are like, well, they're conspiracy theorists, but it is weird that they threw him in the ocean. It is weird there were fake photos. It is weird they claim they killed him 8 other times. I was talking to the Washington Post lady, and she was like, everybody in the office doesn't believe it. And she was giggling, and I said, do you understand this isn't funny? They, I mean, you know, they lied about WMDs. They lied about it all. We're in a very serious time. But tell folks a little bit about yourself. I mean, give us a snapshot of your career.
Very quickly, I went to Harvard and MIT at the same time, not because I was so smart, but because Harvard wasn't as good as I thought it was. I got a psychiatric degree at Harvard and a PhD international affairs under Lucian Pai. I was trained in psychological warfare, propaganda, counterintelligence, counterterrorism. I went right into the State Department working for Lawrence Eagleburger and became the head of the Office of Combat Terrorism. I created that. I worked against Arafat as a terrorist, and then years later I worked with Arafat as a statesman. So one of the things you have to remember in the world of terrorism, that today's terrorist is tomorrow's statesman. That was true of Menachem Begin. That was true of many of the terrorists that we worked with and now became statesmen. It was true of our own founding fathers who were created as terrorists and now come out as statesmen. I then went on to remain in the Carter administration, where I was involved in the regime change of Aldo Moro. I neutralized the Red Brigade, the P2 scandal. I indicted Berlusconi then. I'm sorry he ever came back. I left under Carter. I resigned and refused to go to Iran because I had Ramsey Clark there, and I thought it would be a disaster. I went on then to create businesses. My real love and this country's great love, why I feel I'm a very strong American, is that I am an entrepreneur. I am what we call an angel investor. I use my own money to create businesses and start them up and build them. Not because it's the money. I'm more than happy to lose the money. It's because only in America can I do what I've done all the time, which is be able to create a business like radio frequency identification, the Tom Clancy franchises, the TV shows, even radio shows. And now I'm doing nutraceuticals and I'm doing orphan drugs. And be able to succeed or fail, not by definition of money, but by definition of criteria that we built assets. I was not interested in pushing papers or money back and forth, but I was interested in serving my country, which I really served for free and most of the time. I was promoted to colonel at a very early age of 32. I refused promotion to general, brigadier general at 37, because I felt not that I wanted to be in the Army, but I felt I could serve my country best by going back out into public service and into private service and then offer my services for free, make my money outside on my own, and then come back and serve my country through the military and other organizations and be able to go overseas for our country and offer strategic advice if they listen to it. If not, I came back under Reagan and worked on the Soviet Union. I was out at the RAND Corporation for a year under a man called Richard Solomon, who brought me in to say develop the Soviet takedown the psychological operation we were involved. Bush Sr. was really, under Reagan, the really impetus for the takedown of the Soviet Union, East Germany. I then came back under Bush Sr., and I was involved in the bringing the peace treaty under James Baker bring a regime change under Pol Pot without using any wars, without using any soldiers. My point is, most of the things that I've done, and I've done a lot in the Middle East against Habash, Hawatme, even in the Gaza Strip where I worked with the PLO, against the PLO, and where, ironically, and this will be a soft spot for the Israelis, in 88 I was sent out by Schultz to find out what was going on with the PLO, and I found out that the Shin Bet of Israel in 88 was creating a group called Hamas, which was used as a counterforce to the PLO, and of course, eventually everybody learned that Hamas had a blowback, and now the Israelis have created their own Frankenstein. The point being that we are not the only country in the world to create our own Frankensteins through Al-Qaeda, which was really the Mujahideen before. I was involved with that under the Carter administration, subsequently another administration. But so was Israel involved in creating...
Did you ever, to interrupt, doctor, did you ever meet Osama bin Laden?
Yes. I saw him in Afghanistan very briefly, but I was more involved with other operational concerns, particularly the Pakistanis.
What was his role in the war against the Russians, and what was he like when you did meet him?
Well, I didn't know him very well. Basically, I knew he was sick at the time. I knew he had renal disease, and I knew he had Marfan's. And you could see that. But basically, the guys who were CIA operatives said he had a supportive role there, and he was financing most of the elements there. My interest was really more strategic.
Yeah, he was more of the Saudi Arabian's man in the field with the money delivery?
Correct. That was the understanding. That's exactly correct. He was not, from my point of view, he was not the keystone of the operations there. That really was a CIA operation. Most people think I worked with the CIA. I was not in the CIA, but that's neither here nor there. Even though I was a member of the CFR, I'm also a member of the Association of Foreign Intelligence Officer and National Military Intelligence Association. So all these associations may mean something to you, may not, but I'm primarily an American.
No, I understand, and it must be horrifying for you, doctor, to know that like the royal wedding, worshiping people that, you know, who hereditarily got their power, who you have to get a, you know, imperial mark in the past to be able to even have a business. Our forefathers and mothers came here to be able to build their own businesses, follow their own dreams. And now we see Obama giving thousands of waivers to select corporations that give him money. General Electric heads up his economic board. They get waivers for their coal plants and then shut down their competition. We're really entering this crony monopoly system. That's got to be horrifying for you.
Well, it's more than horrifying. It's called crony capitalism, and the banking episode was really beyond the pale for me. I was totally shocked, disgusted, and I was waiting for people to get indicted, and I still hope people will be indicted. Crony capitalism cannot work, whether it's with Republicans, Democrats, or independents. It cannot work. We have to stop it as Americans. This must stop in this administration and any future administrations. And please do not believe any politicians who come to you and tell you they believe in something, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, they're all full of BS, because all they care about is their own narcissism, their own desire for power. Very few people are really interested in serving the government, and then they would leave without pay. I really have never found any of these people, except in my case, I found Bush Sr., I found Baker, who really didn't need money, even Vance on both sides. But most people that I knew were very power hungry. In this administration, you have a president who's totally incapable of telling the truth.
Well, what about those narcissistic photos with them all posing? I mean, you can see they did it over and over again until they got it. But shifting gears back to this key issue, there you are, this guy high level in these Republican administrations, the son of someone you say you admire and who, from your perspective, is a good guy, obviously hardworking and intelligent, George Herbert Walker Bush, any way you slice it. When he didn't become the CIA director, you know, out of whole cloth, folks.
You know why he became CIA director? Even Jeb Bush didn't know that. He became CIA director because Donald Rumsfeld wanted to neutralize him from running for the presidency. And for 20 years, most people don't realize, neither Cheney or Rumsfeld were allowed in the White House because they tried to neutralize the future of this quiet man who never, never promoted himself. I remember his saying to me and others that I'd never speak about myself because my mother wouldn't let me. Do you believe that?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because it's actually come out that George W. did bring in Cheney and Rumsfeld because of that split, and that that's then later when Baker and them were sent back in to kind of shut down what they were doing. That would go.
That was one of the reasons why I got on the phone in the middle when I was in Montana, and I told Baker, I called him up. I said, "What in God's name are you doing, sending out the chairman of the Republican Party who was whatever, very bizarre and unusual in his orientations and talking about abortion?" And I said, "Get rid of these guys. And what are you doing with Cheney and Rumsfeld? I mean, these guys were persona non grata for 20 years in our administration." So basically, you have to understand within the American part, within the American public has to understand that even under Bush Jr., we had basically a quiet civil war that was going on between his father's people who were non-ideological and those who try to implement ideology and their own narcissism. What we have now is a very narcissistic, incompetent president with a very dysfunctional White House and a dysfunctional intelligence community.
Well, that was my next question, Dr. Pachanik, from your perspective, was why did you in 2002 come on my show to talk about this bin Laden being in the deep freeze and to question 9/11? We're going to come back, talk about that, and then we're going to go to your phone calls with Dr. Steve Pachanik. What incredible info. But he told you this bin Laden thing's a fraud.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
You know what I can't believe? Just the providence of this radio show, because I'm just an average guy who started reading history books when I was 12 and thought they were interesting and entertaining. And reading history, I learned so much about how the world works today. And then I talked to the general public, who many of them are informed and have street smarts. But if they would really start researching, they would find out how much they're being lied to, and that the culture is getting more and more entitled in Washington. The corporations that have grown up around it, the crony system, are so out of control. Your phone calls for Dr. Steve Pachanik are coming up in the next segment, and hopefully we can get him back up in the very near future. And I keep asking him this question, and he's answered it in many ways. But just boiling it down in a language that the mainstream media can understand and government can understand, why would they do something that is so cartoonishly satirical where, and I'm not just saying this to make it come true because I was pretty depressed yesterday, but now the tables are turning. It is exploding in their face. I mean, it's almost more scary, Doctor, that you're probably right, that they have the power, they have the control, so they're able to do what they want. They think they're smart, but at the end of the day, they're making a lot of things that look like big mistakes as the Republic slides towards collapse. So why? I mean, during the break, I said, so you're saying they just did this to make Obama look good? And you said, no, to make him survive.
It's about the word that you want to use right now, the key word that they did all of this PSYOPs resurrection of Osama bin Laden, which is a joke and a sick joke and a cynical joke on the American public, treating them as if we were stupid, is desperation. They are so desperate to make Obama viable, to negate the fact that he may not have been born here, any questions about his backgrounds, any irregularities about his backgrounds, to make him look assertive, to make sure that Gates goes out in a clean sweep and that he's done what he's done. This is a good man, Gates, and bringing in a man who was questionably qualified to be Secretary of Defense, who was questionably qualified to be CIA Director Panetta, to bring in a whole other staff that really has not been very effective, and to reelect this president again so the American public can be duped once again, after we've been duped by Bush Jr. and Clinton. The point is, they've underestimated the American public. Again, you can thank David Axelrod of the White House, this very self-aggrandizing, very pretentious man who thinks he understands the American public as he polls them every minute. And basically what we have here is a desperate situation on behalf of an incompetent president who's not told the truth, who hopes to be reelected because he has nothing to offer but words, which are totally meaningless, and will hopefully get forth. On the other hand, let me warn you that the Republicans and other parties have no candidates that are capable of filling the role that America needs today, which is a pragmatic, non-narcissistic, non-egoistic, practical man or woman who has served our country on behalf of our country, hopefully in the military, hopefully in business, and hopefully has had a clean history and can understand where we're going strategically and tactically. That has not happened in the past 24 years. That's basically where we are today, in desperation with capital cronyism, corruption, and non-transparency. What we need now is Tahrir Square in Washington, D.C., and all over the country where people will go.
We're going to talk about that when we come back and then take calls, but in the minute or two we have left in this short segment, why did you go public in 2002 with something at the time, you know, that sounded a little bit wild to some people, but I knew it had a historical basis, and say
everybody who has accused me of making wild statements regretted it 10 years later. Aldo Moro did, Pol Pot did, Noriega, all regretted the fact when I said to them, you're leaving and you're not staying, they were gone. The reason I came forth and I said, I warned Bush Jr. and Cheney and Rumsfeld, you will pay for the crimes you've committed against the American public, and part of that is this nonsense of Osama bin Laden being the leader of some nonsensical group that we created under the Carter administration, was fostered through tens of years and going into Pakistan through a nonsensical war that didn't exist, to allow men and women to die.
Are you bottom line saying they ran the attacks or they hired some criminal group to do it?
No. They ran the attacks. The 9/11 is a total manufacture of one organization, the White House, under Bush Jr. Bush Jr., Cheney, Rumsfeld.
Unbelievable. Bradley, what? Stay there, sir. Stay there.
Tony Halazad, Elliot Abrams, now at the CFR.
Stay there. Repeat that.
I'm happy to confront them.
Stay there. Let's come back and repeat that because the music was playing. This is absolutely devastating. Dr. Steve Pachenik's got major credibility, and he is going all the way today, putting it on the table. This is off the charts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center. In the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Well, the email, the tweets, the phone calls are pouring in. Listeners are just completely amazed by the interview. I really appreciate Dr. Steve Pachenik spending so much time with us. I'll obviously have to get him back in the near future. And I want to go to some of your phone calls. But I was going back to 2002 when he went public. Then he was saying, I have questions about 9/11. You know, there are issues with this. We created these groups. Now, as we went to break, he was laying it all out and naming names. Dr. Pachenik, again, who served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and or Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, and James Baker. That's three of the most famous kingmakers of the last 100 years right there. Dr. Pachenik continues to consult to the Department of Defense, ran black ops, major operations, overthrows of governments, you name it, stevepachenik.com. He is, of course, on record. Tom Clancy helped Tom Clancy write his 26 best-selling New York Times bestsellers with his advice. Several of the characters, like Jack Ryan, are based on him, as well as Richard Clark. And Dr. Pachenik, uninterrupted by the break, take your time. What was the event of 9/11, A, and B, why was it carried out?
The event of 9/11 was carried out for one purpose. It was carried out to mobilize the American public to go to a war that they didn't need to go to, that they knew nothing about, where we had pre-positioned soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq 6 to 9 months beforehand. And what it was done, it was based on Paul Wolfowitz's, Richard Cheney, Dick Cheney, Bush Jr., Steve Hadley, Elliot Abrams in the White House, Tommy Halazad, Dennis Ross, who's now our Stell envoy, who's never been held accountable. You have Condoleezza Rice. You have all the people who were in the military. Particularly the Air Force generals who were involved. They can deny it any much they want, but I have a whole list of names. They know who they are. and the intel, the CIA operatives who worked under SOLIC, Special Operations Low Intensity Conflict, were all involved in what's called a stand-down, a false flag operation in order to mobilize the American public on the false pretense that we were attacked by Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, which was an absolute, unmitigated lie. It was told to me even by the general on the staff of Wolfowitz. I will go in front of a federal committee and swear on perjury who the name was of the individual so that we could break it open. I was furious. I knew it had happened. I taught stand down and false flag operations at the National War College. I taught it with all my operatives, so I knew exactly what was done to the American public. Believe it or not, I had worked on George Bush Jr.'s campaign with Bob Zelig, not with the Vulcans, but with Bob Zelig in order to work against Gore, which I regret today, because I had been loyal to his father. And that issue of Osama bin Laden, that had already, who had already been dead, really brought up the issue of the great lie and the great war that was created for us to make sure that we had some type of commitment to a war that was not necessary, where blood and guts were shed for unnecessary reasons for men and women.
Dr. Pachinik, I've got to stop because this is so dangerous. I believe this is the first time you've gone this far. And when the D.C. madam was on my show and she was trying to tell me during the break names of people, and I said, I don't want to know this. You've got to go public with this, or you're going to end up, you know, committing arkansas. And obviously you're a tough guy. You're not worried about that. But I mean,
I don't think so.
Well, do you want to go ahead?
Who I mentioned understands that we all have a mutual, let's say, a mutual deterrent relationship. It's not going to be to their benefit.
No, I understand, but I mean, you don't want to say the name of the general.
The general who swore to me? I will do that in the federal court so that we can unravel this legally, not with the stupid 9/11 commission. That was absurd. That was the most absurd thing I'd heard. That's why I came on your show, Alex. One of the reasons when I went on the shows like Chris Matthews, CNN, all of that nonsense, because they wanted me to say certain things, and Matthews had no idea what we were talking about and going to Iraq at the time. You had all these anchor men and basically pretty boys up there.
Yeah, I've met some of these people. They are like children. And I'm not even saying
They're children. They had no idea whether I was a deputy assistant secretary or what that meant. All they wanted me to do was to give sound bites, and I said I refused. Then they asked, basically. So I found you by chance, and I said, you know what? I heard your show. I thought you were extremely bright. This is not flattery, as we talked about. And I was more than grateful to be on your show. When I went on your show and I told you Osama bin Laden was dead in 2002, I wasn't hypothesizing. I knew it because he had Marfan syndrome. I knew the CIA had investigated, had treated him in a Dubai hospital, an American hospital. They can deny anything they want. That's all they do. They run around creating problems.
By the way, after you said that, Dan Rather did a report on it and interviewed the people at the hospital who saw it.
Oh, they did. I didn't even see that with Dan Rather. But my point is, you still maintained your credibility, and because 9 years later, you mentioned my name, I was stunned. I had no idea because I was working on another company. I'm basically an entrepreneur who volunteers my time for the military to help them out. And basically, as an American, I said, I'm sick of this. And I went back on your show to say, this is disgusting. This Osama bin Laden issue, again, keystones the issue about an incompetent, dysfunctional administration that is lying once again to the American public. We can't continue this. This is why I went on your show. I don't care whether Obama's desperate or he's incompetent or he's narcissistic. I care that he does not get reelected. I care that the Republicans don't get reelected. I care that the American people stand up once again and say we've had enough of this bullshit with all these politicians on the Republican and Democratic side, the capital cronyism, the entire incompetency, the transnational corporations. And believe me, I don't come from the left or the right. You don't serve Nixon, Reagan, and Bush and come out with these comments. I'm not losing friends, and I'm not making friends. I don't really care about those things. I do care that as an American, don't mess with me. You can imagine the real word I wanted to use.
No, I understand.
Don't
Did you hear my story about...
Don't mess with any of my people in America. That's it. and the politicians think that they can mess with
you're not their slave, and you hate seeing America being gutted by crony capitalists.
You got it. Not only crony capitalists, but despicable lies and manipulation.
Did you hear my story about Lionel Chetwin, the White House media head for propaganda?
That's absurd. I mean, it's absurd. You need a White House. Think about it for a moment, Alex George. You need somebody to come out and talk, to say, to interpret to a bunch of what? Sycophants and reporters in the day of the Internet? What do you have reporters there for? To translate on a piece of paper what you were taking? I mean, think of the notion of the newspaper now. It makes no sense, Alex.
Well,
it's an arcane concept.
My point is they all think they're a bunch of gangsters because there I am about to go on a TV show. I'm in the bathroom. Here comes Lionel Chetwin, who made the made-for-TV movie about Bush being a hero on 9/11. And he came over like a gangster and started getting in my face going, we're going to effing get you. And as soon as I bowed up to him, he almost urinated on himself and ran out of the room. I'm saying these are the type of people. I mean, if you're going to threaten somebody in a bathroom, you better be ready. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got it, but they're not. Most of the politicians are cowardly. In the terms of the dynamics, I'm now speaking as somebody who's a political psychiatrist and treated many of them. They're very insecure, very cowardly. They have the same dynamics of movie stars and actresses. They want to say to you, love me, love me. I want more and more and more affection. They cannot perform. They cannot produce. They have no capability to finish anything that they started. They've never been held accountable. It is not an accident. For the past three presidents, we have had people who have never had a mortgage, who have never been able to have a job. Clinton left the White House, said, oh, poor me, I have no money. A year later, he's $100 million supporting Dubai, bringing in a port, while Hillary Clinton comes in and says, oh, no, we shouldn't have a port. George Bush Jr. says, I'm going to go to Texas and start a oil company. Unfortunately, his father started when it had to hand it in, and he screwed that one up. Now you have an organizer in the ghettos of Chicago who has done nothing, absolutely nothing, has never really held a job, has never been, but perhaps he's given a few lectures as a professor. God only knows he was, what, at Harvard, and everybody thinks that's a great position. And somehow, mysteriously, from the most crooked city in this country, Chicago, we get a president. How is that possible? With Rahm Emanuel, who has a master's degree in ballet. Now, that is really impressive to me.
And we know what that really means. He has a master's degree in...
chief of staff for a man who's never been in the presidency, and it really was shocking. And then he talks about... And then under Bush Jr., we have a major crisis in the banking system. He doesn't know what to do. He brings in Paulson, who had no idea what he was doing, because I was a banker, by the way. One of my positions was as managing director of investment bank, taking it down for 6 months and left Wall Street. It was so disgusting. And I knew Paulson had no idea. And when I talked to the congressman, I said, listen, guys, you don't have a banker there. They have no idea what they're doing. Lo and behold, that whole thing unfolded, and now we have such a crippled banking...
Well, sir, you like Petraeus, and I respect that, but it was also Henry Paulson repeatedly did collapse in closed sessions two different days. Petraeus collapsed. What's all this collapsing business?
Basically, I don't know about Paulson collapse. Petraeus, it's public. He has cancer of the prostate. That's not classified.
Oh, really? Oh, so he's been having...
He's not a well man. He's also a man who overreaches. But Paulson, I would not say, is the hero of this country.
No, I understand. I understand working too hard and then collapsing.
No, Petraeus, I think, has had an illness which was not classified. He has had cancer of the prostate. I assume he's better, but he's worked very hard. But the issue with Paulson is that man was incompetent. He's an investment banker. He has nothing to do with cash flow, fiscal policy. Then you had Greenspan, who told you he was doing a wonderful job, and he put the foot, the accelerator to the pedal, and boy, we went right over the abyss. And then he comes back and says, oh, no, that was a minor incident. Derivatives were really very effective.
Let me throw a few more questions in for you, and then we'll take a few calls. This is unbelievable, Dr. Pechenik, stevepechenik.com. The anthrax attacks, you know, they said it was brewed in a bathtub. Later they admitted super U.S. weapons grade, miniaturized, hundreds of millions of dollars of equipment needed. What was the anthrax attack?
I really don't know. That one I have to bow out. I don't know, you know, what that was about, but, you know.
What's your intel on Obama and why they've been suppressing so many of his records? What are you picking up on that?
You know what? At this particular point in time, I think it's best that your audience figure out what the history of Obama was in Chicago. I really don't want to get into the birthing thing. I think that's been discussed. But there are other issues, and I think it's best that this country do its own homework. You have a very intelligent audience, and I think they should find out about themselves. What he did in Chicago, what's his relationship to Rahm Emanuel, why was Rahm Emanuel brought in, and why is he now mayor of Chicago? Masters in ballet, who had no other profession.
All right, we got it. So it looks like Emanuel's blackmailing Obama somehow with the fact that they like to...
I didn't say that. I just want your audience to do their due diligence as you have. I want them to follow you and what you said, and that is to be in educated, self-educated, and informed.
We know all about male ballet dancers. We'll just leave it at that, statistically.
Well, it's not a ballet dancer. This is a master in ballet dance. So it's beyond a ballet dancer.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are occasional black sheep who are male ballet dancers.
I don't know about that. All I know is one brother's an agent in Hollywood, and his other brother, quote, is a physician at the NIH.
Well, what about their family connections to Irgun in Israel?
His father was in the Irgun Sfeilumi. That is true. His father was a pediatrician and was part of a terrorist gang. He himself, I think, served in the IDF for a period of time.
Unbelievable, sir. In the last 12 minutes we have, let's take some phone calls. I'll try to take more calls, folks, but this has been unbelievable. Anything else about the inside job that was 9/11? I mean, you're saying you've talked to high-level U.S. government officials.
The inside job is that nobody has been held accountable. Tenet should never receive an award. He should have been put on trial. Bush should have been put on trial. Cheney should be put on trial, as Rumsfeld. Instead, they all received books. Condoleezza should be put on trial and investigated under perjury, on charges of perjury and war crime. It's as simple as that.
By the way, ABC News did report that
people, Elliot Abrams, you've got Wolfowitz out there, and you've got a lot of potential criminals. If this country doesn't come to its resolution, instead of creating this nonsense that we have a war and we have heroes and we do have victims, we have to stop this. Otherwise, we can't go forward.
Well, it was in ABC News that top military brass a week before canceled their September 11th flight to New York. Mayor Willie Brown, San Francisco Chronicle, this was confirmed, called Condoleezza. No, she called him and said, don't fly to New York. I mean, these guys are just red-handed caught, then lying about never hearing chatter about flying planes into buildings. When on record, they ordered FBI agents nationwide who were on the trail of the legend they were building, the fake decoy history, and they demoted or fired those agents and gave record bonuses to the FBI bosses who blocked the FBI trying to stop the attacks. I mean, and it goes on and on and on and on.
You know, it's time, again, that I say we have our own Tahrir Square. The young kids of Egypt went forth and did what they did. America needs a second revolution. That second revolution has to entail the peaceful means by which we can get rid of this type of capital cronyism, corruption, and criminal activity. It's, again, we were born of a revolution, a real revolution. We fought England twice, not once, but twice. And we need to now understand that our government has no longer served the people, for the people, by the people. And that's why I came back on your show. I was so disgusted to hear this nonsense about Osama bin Laden being resurrected and that they have shot him unless they attacked a mortuary. I have no idea what this nonsense was. But the point is, it underlied another cancerous administration with lies, deceits, betrayal, including the Republicans and Democrats and the legislation. I'm not, you know, a right-winger. I'm not a conspiracist. I trained at Harvard, MIT. I've been under five presidencies. So no matter what the press tells you, no matter what they'll say, Alex Jones had the courage enough to put me on the air, and I had the gall enough to go on the air, which is, by the way, not unusual for me because I told some presidents to leave, go screw yourself, but because I save lives. My job isn't to take down countries only. It's to save hostages. I saved many hundreds of hostages' lives. Now, I was so disgusted, I went back on your show to thank you for allowing me to address your incredible public.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Pashenik.
For that moment to say, this is enough, and that's all I want to say.
Wow. Well, let's jam some calls in here. This is an unbelievable interview, ladies and gentlemen, and it's all of our job to get this interview on the podcast and the YouTubes and the audio of it out to everybody. Let's talk to Alex in Michigan. You're on the air, Alex. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Jones and Dr. Bochenek. My question for you, doctor, is that when we deal with this, as you aptly put, this nonsense with Osama bin Laden allegedly being captured and killed, this operation was allegedly authorized and carried out a couple of weeks ago in April. So why did Obama wait that long a time and then announce this out of all places Sunday night at 10:30? And my second part of the question to that is, if we go back a week ago, after bin Laden would have supposedly been killed, we see the shuffle with Panetta and Petraeus into the Defense Department and CIA. What does all of this mean? What is the purpose of waiting?
It's a very good question. The timing, I can speculate. Basically, they did it so late so that nobody could comment on it. The reason for the timing and now at this particular point in time is Gates is leaving, and Panetta had to establish some credibility where he had none before. The Pakistanis were extremely angry that he had killed many civilians, which he had. Also, if you remember correctly, 2 years ago, he had made a major mess where CIA operatives were killed because there was no clearance. Secondly, you have to remember now, the CIA is not the CIA of the Cold War or the people, the brave people I worked with in the 80s and 90s. This is a very different CIA now. 80% of the CIA right now are contract employees. Listen to what I'm saying. That means they're mercenaries. We have primarily mercenaries underneath Panetta. Panetta is not an intel operative. He's basically, I've got to give him his credit, he's a budget man. And the reason they're moving him to the state of the Defense Department now is Gates is leaving, because Gates was an excellent Secretary of Defense.
But don't mercenaries open you up to total infiltration?
Oh, yeah, because you don't know who. They're loyal to only one thing, the dollar. The American public has to understand, we have primarily mercenaries in most of what we have in contract offices. When they say we have contractees, we have mercenaries. Many of our troops are very disgusted with that, because I've got a soldier who makes $35,000, and next to him, I have the same man making $250,000 with no taxes whatsoever and no restrictions in terms of...
Yeah, he has immunity. Alex, I appreciate
Basic Alex, what I'm saying to you is the timing had to do with Gates leaving, Panetta having been switched into the Secretary of Defense, although I suspect he didn't really want to be SecDef. He wanted to remain as DCI, Director of the CIA, and Petraeus is heading up the CIA, which is unusual for a general because he ran the Special Forces units and CENTCOM, and he ran much of the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and he knows the drones, and he knows the so-called...
Yeah. We've got to jump here.
So that's why he was moved.
Sure, and I agree with you. 10 o'clock at night, so the papers were already lined up to not question, to then have total control of the message the next morning, to control the entire week with the announcement, and the whole thing was scripted. Let's talk to Adrian.
Oh, yeah.
You agree, Dr. Pochenek?
I'm sorry?
No, you said something?
I'm sorry, did you say? No, I didn't say anything.
Okay, Adrian in Missouri, you're on the air.
Hi, doctor. My question is, after all of this, this shenanigans is going on with Osama being dead and everything, and Obama trying to get reelected. After all of this is done, you know, after that announcement in 2012 that he has won the presidency again or whatever, how do you think America is going to react? You know what I'm saying? Like, what his approval rating is going to be? And if they stoop so low again, how will he try to get America back on board?
That's an excellent question, Adrian. I really think about it, and I don't know the answer, but this is what I would speculate. Our unemployment is still remaining high. We have had capital investments, but we're not doing it into major projects like railroads, which we need, bridges that have to be reconstructed, houses that have to go. We need to get that unemployment, 10 to 19 million people back on the job. He will get reelected, and he will probably do whatever he needs to do, which is an agenda that is not clear at this point. But he will continue to push through Obamacare, which will be a disaster for our health program. Unemployment will probably remain high. and he will remain, he will keep the military positioned in the areas where we don't need it, and basically our capital cronyism will continue. But I warn of two things. The food prices and gas prices will continue to rise. Food prices have risen 35% because we decreased the value of the dollar. The commodity prices went up. But, Adrian, it's an excellent question. The sheep does not change his color. I mean, basically, he's going to be what he's always been. He's going to accommodate to the moment and to the interests of the people for whom he works, which is not the United States of America. The banking, primarily in Wall Street and the transnational corporation. But it's an excellent question. I can't really further detail things out other than the fact that we're headed for more and more economic crisis.
All
right. If we default on our debt, we are in major, major problem.
And that's already basically happening with the monetization. They're just not doing it in one big bang. They're slowly killing it. But Geithner wanted to raise the debt ceiling. Now Treasury is announcing that they are maybe going to keep it under. Here's the headline. Treasury to take steps to stay below debt ceiling. That's what Standard & Poor's said. They said it's the increased spending. Raising the debt ceiling is why we have a negative outlook on you keeping AAA. And then he came out 2 weeks ago and said that if we didn't raise it, that would cause the default. But now they're shifting gears saying, okay, they may have to cut. Are they starting to get some reality, Dr. Pechenik?
No, not really. What they're doing is playing with money. Remember, every currency is denominated still in the dollar system. And as long as the dollar system is there, the Federal Reserve will control it. Bretton Woods, right after World War II in New Hampshire, a lot of smart men made sure that everything around the world was denominated in dollars. Where we're going to have the major problem and crisis is that we will have an inflationary spiral that they cannot control. And so that's why gold keeps going up out of fear. Yeah, in and of itself, gold has no value other than historical value, aesthetic value, whatever. But the bottom line is, economically, we're not in a position unless we keep manufacturing. One of the great things about the state of Texas is that you really are very independent in many ways in terms of resources, manufacturing, and oil. We have enough oil in the United States to start drilling here. Gas, oil, everywhere from Montana to down in Texas, Oklahoma.
But the cronies want to keep it shut down so they can make more money on their foreign investments, another form of artificial scarcity. Dr. Pechenik, I want to put bookends on this historic, now almost two-hour interview. We're going to go into super overdrive commercial-free after this one-minute break. Let's just do 10 minutes together because I have to go do some media interviews. And then I want to try to call you later today if you're available so we can have a private discussion about some future things to move to get the public to wake up to what's happening. Just amazing information. But please let me twist your arm for 10 more minutes on the other side so I can promise to get to Bill, Pat, Trevor, and a few others. We'll be right back in super commercial-free overdrive only at InfoWars.com on the streams.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, we're now entering hour number five today, and we're entering hour number three in our interview with Dr. Steve Pechenik, stevepechenik.com. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com, and I didn't give the number out at the end of the official radio broadcast. We're now internet-only, video at prisonplanet.tv. And, of course, we are also audio streams at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We'll be back tomorrow live as well. But I did privately give our number here at our studio to some of the callers that were holding in the last hour so they can get involved on air. If a few others want to try to get lined up, it's 877-789-2539. But we've only got time for a few calls here. But Dr. Pechenik, you're letting it all hang out today, and we've talked, you know, privately during the breaks. It's
more to come, believe me. This is just the beginning. There's a lot that's happened. It's compounded, but as you and I said, there is a very self-destructive element in these leaders that we've elected, and that is, and Alex and I just talked about in the private session, as people who are basically liars and contrivers and deceivers and deceptors, what happens is, like any bank robber, they eventually get to the point where John Dillinger was caught. They want to get caught. And they get a certain thrill out of the notion that the more crises they create and the more deceptions they create, that really is a turn-on for them, and it allows them to exert the power and manipulation, deception that they're trained in. They're not trained for honesty. They're not trained to implement. They're not trained to be direct. They're not trained to accomplish or create assets. They're trained to deceive, manipulate, and lie. That's the nature of most politicians because basically they're mendicants. They're asking you up front, please vote for me. Why? Well, I'm a nice guy and I'll do whatever you want. Well, if I give you the money, what are you then? Well, I'm nothing more than a prostitute. Well, that's basically what happens. They're either panderers or they become prostitutes, but you don't expect them to affect your lives in a way where you're going to be submissive to them. So what I said to Alex, and Alex agreed, and he said the point to me that through history, what happens to the mendicants who are elected and the sociopaths who come to power is eventually they self-destruct. But the important thing in this self-destruction is that we do not go with them. And under George Bush, we began the self-destruction of the United States, and unfortunately we're continuing that under Obama, and that has to stop. And that's why I came back on to the Alex Jones show and said, listen, this is an honest man who's done an incredible job, Alex. And basically, people who've listened, who are smart, who work hard in this country, and I've said it again, we are in a self-destructive spiral that began 20 years ago, decades ago, with liars, deceivers, and manipulators who have destroyed the integrity and viability of our country and have been reinforced by the laziness and incompetency of dysfunctional people, both in the government and in Congress. Do not think that they're any better or they will become braver or more effective. Now the power has to come back to the United States of America, to we, the people, where the individual is supreme.
Absolutely. And Doc, you're showing a lot of courage because clearly you can see it's degenerating. Yeah. It's degenerating faster and faster. We've got to get real or we're not going to be able to fix these problems.
I'm not showing any courage. Let me be frank with you, Alex. I fought for this country, and I've been in 8 different combat situations where my life was at risk. I don't have a problem affording myself the next opportunity to be on your show, and if it takes a 9th time that they want to take me out, that's fine. But the issue is I'm not any more courageous than an American who has to go to work, has to take 2 jobs, has to support his family, has to pay food prices that are 30% higher, Medicare that's unbelievably not reflective of the times, where doctors have to be on call 24/7, or your father has to be a dental surgeon and has no backup and no guarantee that he will make a living. This is not the American way. All I'm trying to say to America, I'm not a hero. I'm just another American who happened to have the opportunity to serve 5 presidents. I left. I didn't ask for a pension.
Now, I understand, but you're engaging in common sense and dealing with a problem. But
That's all I am. It doesn't matter what my degree is, but I am disgusted beyond belief to tell you this cannot continue. The deception and lies of just another president with another Congress and another White House creating this nonsensical psychological operation, treating us as if we were children, stupid. And the media, as if they were stupid and children, and creating this ridiculous circus of nationalism, patriotism, when in fact they're cowardly, they're deceptive, they're ineffectual, and they're dysfunctional, that's not acceptable. That's sick.
In closing, before we take 2 final calls, Doctor, and this has been amazing, before we go any further, just going back to the basic criminology, the psychology, doesn't take a rocket scientist for me to see. The serial killers, they start getting wilder and wilder, wanting to be caught, or they send letters to the police taunting them. And really, I think that's what this is with these ridiculous lies where...
Well, it's of course. I mean, they want to be caught. But I will leave with 2 really comments I once said on your radio show, and I don't mean to be very arrogant about this. I said the voice of the people is the voice of God. Let us hear the voice of your people and the American people. Let us say again, it's enough. We don't want any more. It's basically Opus Deus, Vox Populus, Vox Deus. The voice of the people is voice of God. We fought a revolution against Britain. Now let us fight a revolution against the tyranny of what we see as suppression, deception, crony capitalism. It doesn't have to be violent. It does have to be effective. And I have no greater faith than in the American people than I have in any other country. Only in this country can I serve a president and also disagree with the president. And remember that.
Well, beautifully said. Beautifully said. But I see the sickness of the modern Neros with their megalomania through the media, pushing their false realities, infecting my fellow Americans. They're trying to sell us on their delusional sickness. It's like, I'm sure you saw this, Doctor, the Karl Rove quote to the New York Times reporter where they said, you're lying about WMDs. You're setting up a police state. And he said, you are what we call the reality-based community trying to look for facts. But we're an empire now. We control reality, even if it isn't what we say it is. And he was almost trying to break their will and just say, like O'Brien torturing Winston in 1984, I don't want you to say 2 + 2 = 5. I want you to say and believe it's whatever I tell you. Freedom is not having a mind. Freedom is being a slave. And
right.
So there's...
Remember what Thomas Jefferson said very clearly. Every generation must fight to have its own freedom. If we do not do this now, we will never do it again. Trust me. Karl Rove is nothing but a secondhand sycophant criminal. He is a disgusting individual. There's no reason why he should have come back. He's one of those war crimes. But that's not the issue. The issue is for the American public to come out again and do what they do, whether it's Twitter, internet, and talk among themselves. And
well, we're going to have you back. We're going to have you back, Doctor, very soon to talk about your research in this.
You've been wonderful, and I thank you for the opportunity to express my ideas.
You bet. We're going to cram in two final calls, and we're done, or three. Bill in Connecticut. Quickly, you're on the air with Dr. Pachenik. Thank you.
Yes. Wow. What a show, Alex. Dr. Pachenik.
Yes, sir.
From two sources, from a gentleman by the name of John Perkins, who wrote a book, Confessions of an Economic Assassin, and Lindsay Williams, both were on the Alex Jones Show, had indicated that back in the early 70s, Kissinger went over to the Saudis and made a deal whereby we would buy their oil if they bought our debt. And with the interest on that debt, we would build their infrastructure and their oil refineries. Flash forward to the present. Now we're in a position whereby supposedly the elites want to implode and devalue the dollar in order to bring out either a one world currency or the Amero, starting with that. And I'd like your take on that. And then the follow up question is on the banks. What can we do to prosecute these criminals and bring them?
All right, we're almost out of time. Great question.
Well, the banks is the most important one. That has to be demanded that the criminals be prosecuted. There's no question about it. And then you can withdraw money from the banks. They're the major ones. Bank of America, Citibank, you've got J.P. Morgan. The issue of Kissinger, I don't approve of him. I didn't work directly for him. I worked for Eagleburger, but you're correct in what he said. In terms of the money, I go back to the Bretton Woods Conference in the late 40s, right after the war, where all the currencies were denominated in the dollar. It will be very, very hard. It costs trillions of dollars to break that currency and to create other currency. The yuan will not be possible. The Russians tried it. The Arabs tried it. It's not going to work. Everything's denominated in the dollar. No matter how you look at it, as long as the dollar is there, it will be controlled by the Federal Reserve. It will be a currency to remain there for several years. The reason the dollar is going down now, quite frankly, is really because we're in an economic war, which is an effective war against right now China, because we want to export our products, and we're doing quite well at that. But the real reason is it's very hard to get a one state or one currency element other than the dollar. It's just very difficult.
All right, final caller. This is amazing. Trevor in Nevada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I just had a question. Well, first of all, good show, great show. I just had a question. If they're not producing a body, then is that going to expand into like the courts now that they don't have to produce any body or anything to convict anybody or any DNA evidence?
I really don't know that. I mean, when you have a lie and you distort the lie and you make it into a circus, I don't know who's attending the circus and who's going to prosecute it. But honestly, with all due respect, this is such a travesty of reality that I don't even know how they're going to do anything and why they should do it.
Well, Dr. Pachenik, then we'll get another question from Trevor. Hold on a second, Trevor. I want to get this in now before I forget. Sure. How about every news channel? This proves torture is good. Torture is wonderful. This proves extrajudicial killing is good. This proves rendition is good. This proves it. I mean, it's like saying it proves the moon is made out of cheese. It's just sick.
First of all, rendition created by Clinton was a disaster, and it was unconstitutional. Torture does not work. If you have to do torture, it's disgusting. It's unethical. It really doesn't work. I've never had to use it, and I've had more than enough terrorists reveal what I needed to have without any torture. Thirdly, this is beyond the pale. Again, you have distortion, denial, deception, and the denigration of the American public and its intelligence, and it can't continue.
All right, Trevor, your final point, and then we're going to end it.
The final point is we've had enough. Let's ask for a new way of government, a new government,
sure,
and new people to run it.
Trevor, you had one more point.
American people.
Yeah, I was
one
just going to say, when I first heard it, it was a mass hysteria, and I told my girlfriend the exact same thing. This is just going to justify war and torture and more war and more torture. And I'm already seeing it on Twitter and Facebook with people saying, if it wasn't for information from Guantanamo Bay, none of this would have happened, or rah, rah, rah. I don't know, but that's all I have to say. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, the information Guantanamo wasn't effective. A lot of them shouldn't be there. A lot of them were not even criminals. The whole thing is a farce. This war against terrorism is a total farce because it starts with a farce of 9/11. It starts with a body that never existed, Osama bin Laden. So you have one endless deception. So let's get back to the real issue. We need new people, new America, which stands up for itself, and a new government without any of this nonsense.
That's right.
Deception and denial. We've had enough.
The system's trying to give us their collective insanity so we can live in la-la land with
correct
them. It's time to break the spell, break the trance. Dr. Pachenik, I'll say bye to you here at the end off air. Thank you so much. God bless you. StevePachenik.com. Amazing. Folks, get this interview out to everybody. We go into retransmission right now. Great job, crew. See you back tomorrow, 11 a.m.